The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Yes, it is, and welcome back as we head into hour two of our daily three-hour tour. It is a privilege to welcome back dear friend Heather MacDonald, the Thomas W. Smith Fellow at the Manhattan Institute, contributing editor at City Journal, and, of course, New York Times best-selling author. Heather, happy New Year to you. Thanks for joining us.
Seth, it's always a pleasure to be with you. Thank you for having me on.
You bet. Thank you for your scholarship, though, and thank you for your bravery in your scholarship. I was recalling that when Churchill and Roosevelt were talking about what to name World War II before it was known as World War II, Churchill said we should have called it the Unnecessary War, because if people had only listened to us, we wouldn't be where we are. I'm thinking about that as I read David Leonhardt in the New York Times today, waking up the country to a mental health crisis of children. I'm thinking if they had read you in March of last year and everything you've written since, we wouldn't have the headlines today. We wouldn't have the U.S. Surgeon General this year finally proclaiming a national state of emergency with children's mental health, or the American Academy of Pediatricians saying the same thing. All of these confessions were avoidable, they were preventable, they were unnecessary. But when people were writing and warning about them, people led by you, Heather, you were censored and you were censured. There should be some accountability here. It won't come, but I just wanted to tell you, you're owed some.
Well, I'm grateful to have a reader with a memory. That's very rare, and I'm not going to say I told you so. I'm glad that you'll say it for me. That is absolutely true. I was hardly the only person, although I do think I was the first one out of the gate.
You were. Compared to what? March 13th, 2020.
Right. And I was criticized not just by the left, but also by our fellow conservatives. Yoram Hazani tweeted that I wanted to kill Grandma. The fact of the matter is, though, Seth, that we knew everything about COVID by March 2020, and since then we've simply been reiterating sotto voce the facts, which is that the average age of the decedents is of people who died from COVID is about 79 to 80. They average about 3 comorbidities. The death rate, you know, is just magnitude 1,000 times higher for people in the upper age brackets that are already well on their way to death compared to the rest of the population. We knew everything about no outdoor transmission, the necessity of having intense viral dose, and yet what we saw was a country that seemed absolutely eager to embrace fear, to embrace control. Not surprisingly, the government seized the opportunity to control the population. The founders were absolutely right about that as a instinct of government officials. But the most surprising and really disturbing fact of this last 2 years has been the willingness of the people both to be controlled and then to seize this as an opportunity to control others. And, you know, what the sort of bromides that we've been telling ourselves about Americans' native embrace of liberty and freedom really have been discredited in a very considerable part, I would say, by our reaction to COVID.
Heather, you were, as I understand it from previous conversations and just reading you since I was a baby, since we were both babies, we're about the same age, reading you forever. You were trained, obviously, in language and law. I was trained in political philosophy and law. I still can't understand. Maybe you can help me. Maybe your studies will contribute to this. I don't understand why people choose to live this way. I don't get it. I get authoritarian personality disorder. I get that from a government level. I get that from a leadership level. I don't get why so many fellow Americans chose to follow in line with that and be in, to use one of your other phrases, walking billboards of panic and fear.
And, you know, I think you're absolutely right, Seth, to stress the choose part.
Yeah.
One thing that drives me crazy about the way the New York Times and other liberal media organs phrase things is they make it seem as if deliberately chosen policies are forced upon the policymakers as some act of nature, and that there is simply no discretion. And so, you know, COVID surge forces more lockdowns, compels people. No, all of these choices were completely voluntary. Everything that our leaders did was discretionary. They could have gone in other directions. Doing so would have been equally, if not more, scientifically justified. None of this was written in stone or was forced upon people. But as far as why people chose to be fearful, chose to be locked down, chose to destroy vast swaths of the private sector economy, chose to widen the academic skills gap between blacks and Hispanic children on the one hand and whites and Asians, chose to cripple the social development of children, my usual instinct is to not go to higher levels of explanation or sort of a conspiracy theory, to take people at their words and to say, which would in this case say, well, they just were frightened.
Yeah.
I mean, they believed this honestly. They were frightened. In this case, however, given that the evidence against the grounds for fear has been so available for so long,
yeah,
I am forced to take a second higher level explanation. And the ideas that I grasp for is that somehow in a world of utter safety, it makes people feel alive and energized to be facing an existential threat, that at least one that they believe in, is not an existential threat. It gives meaning to their lives. And I'll go back again to the issue of power.
Mm-hmm.
The mask enforcement, the booster enforcement does give people power over each other, and that is something that is intoxicating, inebriating, and we see it as well. I think the same thing with giving teenagers the pronoun power. You know, it gives what every teenager yearns for, which is to put adults under his thumb and say, you know, you got my pronoun wrong. I am now going to submit you to the wolves.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. We want hierarchy. We actually want hierarchy, and we want others under our control.
Heather, I don't know if you'd agree with me. I was prepared to say a good portion, maybe even half, of the what we call here team grief and death and sorrow and murder, team panic, team fear. I thought maybe half of it was political. We got to use it against Trump. We got to use it against the Republicans. But whether that's true or not, I guess it can't be totally true because it's still going on. They got what they wanted politically, or at least partisanly, and it's still taking place. So I had to have to dismiss a good chunk of that and think that there's something underlying since the 60s about trying to make America a sick or an unhealthier or a down market commodity, whether we're on the eve of destruction, whether we're a population bomb, whether it's an environmental disaster, whether it's nuclear winter, there has always been an investment that America should be seen as a sick or failed society. Maybe that's what's taken root after a generation of progressive education. Maybe, maybe.
And I'm also mortified that I've left out the Trump piece. You know, that is absolutely true, and you're absolutely right that it can be both and. It was anti-Trump, and yet it has transcended Trump. So, but I think that doesn't mean it was not anti-Trump.
Yeah, yeah.
Now,
just
there,
not all of
here,
it turns out, yeah.
Right. Now, this is where, like, I'm a little reluctant to reach that level of sort of conspiracy or plan, that it's part of a plan to take America. I will just observe a fact, which is that what this safetyism and this voluntary fear does represent is the growing dominance of females in our culture.
Hmm.
And it is the repudiation of the male martial virtues.
Hmm.
Here in New York City, I am just so disheartened by seeing young, healthy males in their 20s and 30s walking around outside with double masks on.
Yeah.
You don't need one mask outdoors. There is no outdoor transmission.
Yes.
The idea that, like, we're contemplating, well, shall we fight China over Taiwan? How could we possibly wage war with a population that is this much cowed? And so the inability to balance risks and costs, to take a rational cost-benefit analysis to policy, to give in to the most irrational fear, that is, on average, something that females are more prone to than males. Not always. I'm not talking about anybody's individual daughter who may be on her way to win a Nobel Prize in physics, or, you know, wants to fight single-handedly.
Yep.
But nevertheless, psychiatry has long known that females are risk-averse, they're anti-competitive, and you have females now running universities, you have them running HR departments, you have them running public health, certainly, and I think that's part of what's going on as well.
Well, the environmentalists created a great phrase, save the whales. Maybe you and I could start a movement called Save the Males. Heather, I know you got to run. We all have our stories. Just today I walked into a 7-Eleven, my favorite scene thus far this year, 4 days in. A guy in a mask getting out of a car, masked outside the car, walks into the 7-Eleven and takes his mask off. I mean, just the insanity of what people are doing to themselves and communicating to the rest of the world. It's good to know sane people. It's good to know you, Heather. You're a dear, dear friend. But more importantly, such an important writer, such an important thinker. I just wanted to wish you a happy new year and say there's an accounting that's due to you. There really is.
Grateful for that, Seth, and I think I'm going to send this podcast around as widely as I can.
Oh, yes, please do. I will do the same. You send it to 500,000 of your strongest followers, and I'll send it to 10 of mine. I love you, Heather, if I can say that on air. Happy New Year. Well, let's visit a lot more often this year. Let's make that a resolution. God bless
you,
Heather.
Thanks,
all the best. All the best. Thank you.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.